better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Chad Morris met with the media yesterday and was able to give an injury update on a few of the players. Of course, C.J. O'Grady was the big one, and it looks like he's just going to be out a couple weeks, should be back by the time season starts or at least game two against Ole Miss. But following up with that question, which I thought was really fascinating, was the deal about Chad Morris and how he handles not pushing his team so far to cause more injuries, but also making sure that his team is getting better mentally, physically, and across the board. And here's what he had to say in that balance.
You know, we try to teach the tempos of practice that we go through. And we always are showing video of guys taking care of each other in practice. If we can practice full speed and know what the tempo is, you don't have to bring guys to the ground every play. And you can't do that. Real estate, you can't do that anyways. And so we have to learn to practice the right way. And there's been such an emphasis for our coaching staff on teaching our young men how to practice the right way. Because you do that, you get a lot of stuff done. But practice 10, you only get so many opportunities to get this football team ready for the season. And once the season gets here, we all know how fast it goes. And you're really at two good practices a week. And so trying to develop a young man during the course of a season is really hard. You don't have the time. So right now is the time and the challenge and the grind of camp, and that's what we're doing. Football's a contact sport. It's injuries are part of the game. But when we do practice and understand how to practice the right way and staying off the ground, those injuries are less likely to happen.
You know, that's something that I don't really take into account a lot of times is when he kept saying how to practice. How do you practice? How do you practice mm-hmm. to keep yourself from injury, to keep yourself getting better, or to keep yourself from getting worse and continue to get better? You know, that's one of those things that I guess I never really thought of, because you don't really know how what goes hand in hand into it.
Well, and think if you're one of these freshman defensive linemen and you're trying to earn playing time, definitely trying to, you know, show the coaches what you can do. And a lot of these positions, it's about being physical. But then there's a line where you're in practice, you don't want to hurt a teammate, you don't want to injure yourself.
No.
So, I mean, they're talking about practicing and doing it the right way. He was also talking, I think, in that same context, that same clip about, hey, we run 8 or 10 plays, let's get a water break and right back on. You know, and my thought listening to that last night was the conditioning this team is getting, because he talks there at the beginning about the tempos and learning to practice at the tempo and the pace of practice, because that's the way they're going to play. And while they're doing all this in this hot, humid August heat, you know, one thing that's been complained about with this team is its lack of conditioning. You're going to know a lot about the conditioning of your team based on, are you able to complete the practices the way you want? Because it'll just wear on you right now. I mean, just physically being out there for 2 hours doing nothing is a grind, much less putting on football pads and exerting yourself throughout 120-minute practice with very few breaks. So the conditioning element that's going to be a byproduct of this, I think, is going to be a real benefit for this team.
Well, yeah, because conditioning, with at least the type of style that Chad Morris wants to run, is pivotal. I mean, you got to be able to not only be able to go down and have a successful drive where you're moving really fast, if that's the case, but you also got to go for the entirety of the game. I mean, fourth quarter is, of course, the most important. It's who blinks and who's wearing down in the fourth quarter is the team that usually loses those games.
Right. And so do you have linemen that know they can go 12 or 13, 14 plays? I mean, there's going to be the occasional 15-plus play series, but those are rare.
Very rare.
You know? So, do you have offensive linemen that believe, yeah, I can go 12 or 13 plays, no problem, and we can go fast, and then they're in good enough shape to be effective by the end of that series? That's why it's so hard for teams to have lengthy drives. You know, A, you got to beat the defense that many times in a row. Two, you can't mess yourself up over the course of that. And three, are you in good enough physical condition to do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't think about wide receivers and running backs and quarterbacks. It's those linemen up front that really got to be able to go for 13, 14 plays in a row.
Yeah, because trust me, folks, if there was a way to do it, even championship teams would do it this way. If there was a way to guarantee you get 5 yards a play and that's it, just 5 yards a play,
yep,
you would do that more so than having an 80-yard touchdown
four,
run.
Five, how about four?
Yeah, I mean, just a low number.
3.5. I mean, you just want to be able to divide 10 by three.
Just make sure you get those first downs.
Every third down, boom, I'm moving the chains.
Yes.
So, you know, if you got 3.5 yards of play would be enough.
Yeah.
And you'd have, if you could do that at a minimum, you'd eventually arrive in the end zone.
That's right. And if you were able to do that and guarantee yourself of doing that, every team would do that. Every championship team would do that because you wear the other team down. And that's where it's going to be key and where it's going to be interesting, too, to see, okay, if this offense truly is better than what it was last year, which I think we all agree it should be. You at least have a better quarterback at play, no matter who it ends up being. You got better wide receivers. You got some tight ends. Obviously, we see Adrian Grady going down, but you still got some talent there. Running back. Offensive line is going to be the key, but we'll see. But you look like you're going to have a better offense this year. If that is the case, you also have to make sure your defense gets taken care of, too. Because the last thing you want to do as an offense, and especially in the SEC, is either, one, you're scoring so fast that your defense isn't getting a breather, or two, you're getting off the field so quickly because you're going three and out every single drive that your defense is having to come out. The tempo is important for the offense, but it's probably just as, if not more important, for your own defense. Because
totally
agree. Defense is where you're going to be going up against these other teams that are trying to go fast. In fact, this may be something that we do when we're leading up to the season, but I'll be curious to see how many teams Arkansas plays this year that likes to run a little bit of a faster tempo, probably mm-hmm. the majority of them, at least a good bit. And if your defense is going to be able to make stops and to make plays, you're going to have to make sure they are rested and staying off the field as much as possible.
Right, and you know, back to the offense, you're exactly right. This is about the defense, because in order to be effective with this offensively and to tax that opposing defense, you can't substitute.
Nope.
The offense can't be changing out the left or right tackle because he's tired after seven plays. Because when you do that under the college rules, what happens? The defense gets to substitute, and you've just defeated the whole purpose of the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. You've got to have the guys on your side of the ball that can have the endurance to go, or you're not getting to the point of what you're trying to create, which is you've caught them in the wrong defensive set or with the wrong personnel group on the field, and now we're going to go with our NASCAR package or our whatever you call it. A lot of teams have a phrase for their hurry-up, no-huddle offense, and we're going to wear that inside technique down because he can't go more than about six plays and he is dragging the ground. And then we're going to run it right in his gap and we're going to bust a big play here.
That's right. That's right.
We've caught him with the two freshman corners on the field and we know they can't stop our guys.
Mm-hmm.
They can't handle Mike Woods and Trey Knox both, and we're going to wear them out here.
Yep.
And they can't do it. Or we're going to make them burn a timeout. Something's got to give.
That's right.
But it doesn't work if your guys can't stay upright and running the plays themselves.
That's right, because offense, especially with what Chad Morris is trying to run, is all about control. You are controlling everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense on the other side of the ball, they have to react to what you're doing, and more often than not, they can't react fast enough.
And sometimes it's not just about snapping it fast. It's about getting to the line and holding them. So you may not get up there and snap it, you know, with 33 or 32 on the play clock, but you get up there and you freeze the defense to where you're not substituting.
No.
They can't go anywhere, because if they do, you're going to snap it and catch them with their pants down. You know, so, I mean, it's a chess game there.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole key to that is you have to have offensive linemen and offensive personnel that can pull it off themselves to catch that defense. So Arkansas wants to be prepared. Back to your point, defensively, this is a great exercise, because guess what teams are going to be trying to do to Arkansas's defense? Catch them in these situations.
Same thing.
Hey, they don't have their nickel package in, and we got all of our wide receivers in. They can't match up because they don't have the linebackers to match up with our wide receiver. Mm-hmm. We're going to get 8 yards of play, and we're going to do it till they call timeout.
Yep.
Or we score, one or the other.
And that's why it's really frustrating to try to play defense in college football today.
You know what the other key to that is? No penalties either.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You just can't stop the clock for any unnecessary reason.
You have to be in total control of it. is as an offense.
You don't have go to out be of bounds. In, yep. Don't be offside or don't have a false start.
Know what the play is. Yeah, know what the play is being called.
And that requires great sideline to on the field communication mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to kind of lead it into is because when you say if Arkansas have got a 25 yard gain on a play and they're wanting to go fast and they're running mm-hmm. up to the line. By the time, what they're doing as they're running up to the line, if you look at especially the quarterback, but most of the team, what are they doing as they are running up to the line of scrimmage? They're looking over and they're seeing that sign up.
Right.
And by the time that they run up to that line of scrimmage, more often than not, they already know the play, where to line up, everything. What does the defense do, though? They don't.
All they can do is react.
Exactly. You know? It's a reaction thing. You got to push them to make a quick snap decision.
And these are why defensive coordinators are getting gray hairs and going bald and going out of business. Because why are they giving up 33 points a game as a defense? Well, because the game and the style and the rules and all these things are set up for more points.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just talking about a great example of what you got to avoid defensively and what you got to force other teams into or be prepared to stop it, one or the other.
Yeah. How many great offenses are in college football, you'd say? Like, great offenses is in, well, they score a pretty...
Great relative.
But. Well, right, but ones that you look at, you're like, oh, yeah, that's an offensive-driven team. They have a good offense. I mean, probably a good amount.
Right.
I mean, even going out to Washington State.
Flip the question around. How many great defensive-driven teams are there?
That was going to be my other question.
I mean...
You can't name that many.
I mean, even Alabama has a great defense, don't get me wrong, but they've changed. They're a bad offense now.
Yeah. Look at Clemson. I mean, they have really good defense. Brent Venables are one of the best defense coordinators, but they made their money.
Right. The elite teams, though, have both. That's the difference.
Yeah. That'd be nice to have. God, yeah. I wonder what that's like. But
if you can't have one, if you can only have one or the other, it's clear in today's game teams are going with the offense because the rules are set up.
That's right.
Why
wouldn't you?
If you can only be great on one side of the ball or the other, it sounds great to be, hey, defense wins championships. Agree with that. But great offense wins 9 or 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
May not win you the division, may not win you the SEC title, but it will sure keep donors and fans and administrators and commentators and observers happy. Offense may not get it all the way done, but it can go a long ways to keeping people happy.
Yeah, because you know what? Who one of the worst defenses were in the country, or at least in their conference these past few years? A team called Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were pretty good, though.
Statistically speaking.
Yeah, statistically speaking, they're one of the worst defenses. But guess what they were doing then? Just going to the college football playoffs. So obviously, you can still win it, and that's where it comes down to.
They didn't win at all.
They didn't win at all. You got to have a defense for that, and they've made changes for that.
And the teams in Bama and Clemson that have had the best offenses and the best defenses have been the ones that have been standing at the end.
Yep, and that's hopefully what Arkansas is trying to accomplish with Chad Morris in 2019.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Chad Morris met with the media yesterday and gave an update not only on C.J. O'Grady but other Razorback football players and his injury report.
It was a quick injury update. C.J. should be back in about 2 weeks, we're anticipating. The knee sprain, Austin Capps, same thing. Something's been bothering him a little bit, but he should be back by the first game. Colin Jackson, Colin may be 3.5 weeks or so. It's a reoccurring injury from the same knee, but he'll be fine. Just going in and cleaning a few things up, so we should get him back as well. We opted to go ahead and do all three of these now and to keep him from lingering where we're at in fall camp, especially with all these other guys behind him getting reps.
So he was talking about, of course, C.J. O'Grady being the main one, but no one knew anything about Austin Capps. But we talked about offensive line depth. Having Austin Capps out, I know that they expect him to come back by the time the season gets going, but everyone see that on the offensive line as well. So
no, yeah. And you know, these are minor deals, but they're still deals that are costing 2 weeks of. Is it the most important part of camp? I guess when you get into the 7 or 8 days out from the first game, you'd really like to be because it's not about. It is about getting ready for Portland State, yes, but it's also about getting everybody into the game week routine as well, so that you're going into Ole Miss week. Everybody knowing what to do, when to do it, what kind of the routine is, and just that offensive line working together. I think by then you've got your 5 to 7 guys figured out, and they need to be acting as one unit up there. So you need those guys in there to be able to practice and get as many reps as they can together with everybody in their spot. It's like a dress rehearsal if you're doing a play. You need more and more and more reps with everybody on stage.
Yep. And when he gave that reporter that update, obviously, again, we were talking about in the opening of the show how Chad Morris is very, very safe and very cautious about the things he says. But this is actually something that's been floated around a bit in college football. Do you believe that there should be an injury report in college football? There is in the NFL, and this is something that's gotten thrown around. But do you believe, just based off of how college football is, do you think that there should be an official injury report in college football?
And why do they do it in the NFL? For gambling. I mean, that's why they have an injury report, so that they feel like the wagering, the legal wagering, is all on the up and up, and nobody's got information about a guy that's not going. That's one of the main reasons they do that. The desire to add it to college football was because now sports wagering is legal across the country, you know. So the NCAA's decided not to do it for now, but I think at some point it's coming, you know. Absolutely. Should they be doing it? Yeah, but you're still going to get guys like Belichick that Tom Brady's been questionable for how many weeks in a row?
Probably every single week. So,
how truthful is the report they give that meets the bare minimum? I don't know.
Yeah. But is there a benefit to it? And I mean this honestly.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, no, you did answer your question. I was just saying, but besides, because the gambling factor is for sure what it's about. But besides that, though, is there an actual reason, legitimate reason, to have an injury report besides gambling?
No, why? Listen, if take that out of it, why would you want to give up that information if you're a coach? Why would you want to report a guy injured that, let's just say, Dejon Harris, God forbid, gets injured in practice on a Tuesday. Why would you tell anybody that before game time? Why would you come out Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday and say, oh, he's not going to be with us?
For the safety of the student athlete.
Well, he's already injured. I mean, why would you give the opponent that information if you weren't required to? That's my point.
Mm-hmm. Which I can know, and I understand. I get that.
Now, from a media standpoint, from a rooting for the show, I want to know these things.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
Yeah. I want to know why they're injured, what happened, how long they're out.
How bad did it hurt? All of that stuff.
But on the other side of it, too, though, if you're an opposing coach, you'd love to know the injury report of the other team.
If that happened, God forbid, a key player gets injured in practice 4 days before the Ole Miss game, I don't want those guys down at Oxford knowing.
No.
If I'm Chad Morris. Mm-mm. So that's why I don't want an injury report.
Yeah. Well, and it's been one of those things, too, and the reason it's been highly contested, you mentioned the gambling aspect of it, too, but we also have seen where injuries that have occurred in practices or whatnot, if they get reported at a certain time before the parents of the kids know about it or anything like that, it usually becomes pretty problematic that way, too. Because,
you got HIPAA laws, so.
Yeah, and listen, Chad Moore said it in his press conference, and I feel like he's probably said it many times, is that, you know, injuries are just part of football. You know, it's part of the game of football. You're going to have people get knocked up a little bit, nicked up a little bit, and they're the ones that have to bounce back and feel better about it and all that. So I get all that, but it's just a matter of when, for instance, when Chad Morris gave that injury report right there, well, what was the benefit of him saying Austin Capps is out? No one asked him about Austin Capps.
No one even knew Austin Capps had an issue. Did you? I didn't.
I didn't. So why bring it up?
And that's one reason you close. To me, you're going to close practices. Why give all this other detail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because one of the things that I've noticed from a few of the people who do practice reports, they will always list on who's in the green jersey, the yellow jersey, who's not there. You know, that's like one of the first things that they'll always put up.
I need a chart. Green, I think he said yesterday, green means you can't hit or be hit. Yellow means you're resting.
Think?
I need a color chart on these jerseys.
Some sort of way to
Clay
figure
put us
it out.
One together. And then they change them, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because before it used to be just, yeah, you had a red jersey and green jersey. Red jersey meant you're full go. Green jersey means you can't get hit or you're not going to hit. That was all it was.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got different color coordinations. But those are the observations, though, that the media will make in those first 20 minutes of practice that they're open up to see. That probably is one of the first things while everyone's out there stretching, because I know you'd love to hear the reports on how they're stretching. It's one of the things they do is they go out there and they check over the whole team and see if there's anybody missing and
roll call.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and that one was fascinating is because I think when Chad Morris gave this update, he also didn't go into much detail on these particular players. Like the Austin Capps deal didn't go into a lot of detail about the extent of the injury or anything like that. And that's what I've just found is fascinating on how college football approaches injuries. And if gambling really starts to get revved up in college sports, where it becomes a major money-making success, which I think we all believe it will.
It will.
When it gets to that point, is the pressure going to be on to start filling out and putting out an injury report?
And the reason I think if you're the SEC, you don't want to do this right now is that's a card you have to play when you start negotiating for a piece of the action. Like, what is it? The NBA is done with whichever casino group out there in
Caesars.
One of them. I'm not as well versed in the ownership, but a lot of those, there's only about two or three, four owners or whatever out in Vegas that they own two or three, four casinos each. So, yeah, I mean, but the NBA's made a deal with a group of casinos, you know, for intel, for data, for knowledge. Well, eventually college sports and chiefly college football is going to come with their hand out saying, listen, hey, wait a minute. You're making how many hundreds of millions, maybe perhaps billions on wagering on college sports, or at least that's how much will be the handle, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like 2%. We'll give you 1.5. What are you going to give me for 1.5? Okay, that's where the negotiation. Well, how about injury reports? How about some data? How about some inside information? Or something.
Yeah.
Because the NBA's made a deal like that to share information, and not necessarily on injury, but just data and different stuff. And I think you hold that card back if you're the SEC, if you're college football, if you're the NCAA.
Yeah, because then it becomes...
You got to negotiate with something.
Yeah, because then it's one thing to just have sports gambling. It's another thing to have the partnership with them. And then you know, because just knowing how college football is, and again, who knows what it all looks like in 10 years, 15 years or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But just knowing what we know about it right now, there will also be coaches like Nick Saban, who will pull Bill Belichick type stuff and, you know, either say everybody's injured.
Yep.
Or nobody's injured. You know, there'll be some manipulation of it all, too.
So is it like pro sport? The coach gets fined?
That goes into the next question.
Yeah.
The point that you're trying to make is the NCAA is not going to make it a priority to have the injury reports public until they get a cut of the Vegas money.
I don't know what they're thinking. I'm just saying if they put me in charge, why would I give up that playing card that might be valuable to me down the road in a negotiation?
Mm-hmm.
Because the NCAA, what else can they get money right now, resource-wise? The next step,
They've tapped out TV, but they're at the upper end of how much more money is in TV. At some point, this TV money with all these, everybody cutting the cord, at some point, we're going to break over it's going to go the other direction.
And the next...
And I'm telling you, we're seeing in our state where the governor has... put more money. The federal government is putting more to make sure we get high speed internet to every home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they did back in the 50s or whatever, to make sure we got electric to every home. Now we're making sure we get internet to every home. And when we do that and you're able to stream games reliably, there's going to come a day where I don't think I need to pay $120 for cable anymore or satellite. It's going to be all about internet.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have a streaming package, and maybe you spend $70 on that versus the $120 you're spending. And so at some point, the dynamics of how college sports, pro sports get funded are going to change because the TV money is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the next big wagon of money out there waiting
on? Gambling.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
If you're in selling T-shirts and jerseys that everybody gets all fired up about,
no,
that's nothing. Or beer in the stadium, that's nice.
But
that's a couple million,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, but that's not gonna be the big time side of it.
Tens of millions of dollar windfall for each school. is going to be on sports wagering. It's in its infancy now. It's very mm-hmm. new. They don't know what they're dealing with. But at some point, it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to go all over the conversation again of players being paid in college sports.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
It is a recruiting Thursday, so let's talk a little recruiting as we go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. How's it going? How's the vacation, I should ask?
It was good. Stayed around the state of Arkansas. Did you know when you ever live in a state, you're the last one to do certain things that the state is known for, and I actually did one of the things. We actually did one of the things that the state is known for, who dug for diamonds. So, didn't last too long and didn't find any diamonds, but hey, I can say I did it. I've done it.
You're always looking for diamonds in the rough. That's part of your job description, right? Is digging for diamonds in the rough?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I was hoping to make a little bit extra cash on this one.
I understand. Well, you know, there are a lot of those great things around our states. It's dead period right now. Which I guess kind of makes things a little quieter on your beat, your front.
Yeah. The dead period basically is there's no interaction, face-to-face interaction between the prospects and the football coaches. The coaches obviously are geared towards fall practice, and they're not going off campus, obviously, and seeing kids off at schools, and kids aren't visiting the universities and checking out the facilities and checking out the schools. So I think that's the right thing to do. I mean, in the past, before, and I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you exactly when this rule was changed to where August was totally dead. But in the past, you very seldom saw kids visit during August because they were focused on mm-hmm. their season, practicing with their team. Their high school coaches weren't real keen about them visiting during that time either. They should be focused on their high school team, they thought. So I think it was a good thing so the college coaches and the high school prospects can all focus on their upcoming season.
And you mentioned high school kids are in their practices getting ready, but at some point we'll start hearing about official visits, unofficial visits, people coming for, you know, players making plans to come for games beginning with Portland State. I would guess the two big weekends are going to be Auburn and Mississippi State, but when will players start announcing and when will you start getting word of what players are coming and what weekends to visit during a game this year?
Several kids are already trying to line up some official visits. I know Brady Ward, the offensive lineman from Mobile, Alabama, who visited Arkansas during the cookout. He's looking to visit for the Auburn game for an official. And I think you're right. There may be some official visitors for some of the non-conference games, but I think most kids and most of the time the coaches try to gear up kids to come for official visits for the bigger games and for, you know, and obviously the atmosphere is a little bit better. So I think you're right. Auburn and Mississippi State will be two games that a lot of kids probably want to come to. And some kids, you know, they may not have that option just because of their schedule, and they may only be able to come at certain times. So, obviously, the coaches will work that out.
I want to switch it up a little bit, Richard, and go to the basketball side of things because it seems like there's a lot of storylines there. First off, Eric Musselman feels like that the roster is pretty much set for 2019-2020, at least what he said at the One Razorback event just the other day here in Fort Smith. It seems like they're set there, but they're still looking, of course, to get some guys into the 2020 class. What's the update that you have on the recruiting front as far as Musselman and the Razorbacks go?
Well, the latest one was Kalen K.K. Robinson from Bryant. He announced his top seven last night. Arkansas was one of them. Looks like he's trying to make an official, unofficial visit to Arkansas, not this weekend, but the following weekend. Kalen's a top 100 prospect, according to ESPN, a four-star point guard. who also named Kansas, Illinois, TCU, and let's see, Iowa State, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt in his top seven. So I think he's a guy that obviously blew up during the summer, and rightfully so. Saw him a couple times, and he definitely has what you're looking for in a point guard. But and then for not necessarily for the 2020 class, but you had some guys that visited over the past weekend. Most notably, Kennedy Chandler, 2021 point guard, who was a five-star prospect by One Service, and I saw him play at Peach Jam. And the guy is elite, probably one of the best point guards I've seen in numerous years. He is just lights out when it comes to his ability to run a team and do what point guards need to do. But and then you have Moses Moody, still trying to figure out all of his official visits that he's going to be taking. I tend to think Arkansas will get one, but there's no guarantee. We'll have to see. But obviously, he's in high demand and has a lot of options, and may have some more options coming up later on.
2020 class in basketball in the state of Arkansas is pretty good. It looks like it got even better as Chris Morris was a transfer from Memphis into West Memphis. He's a four-star player, and it seems like he's got some really heavy, great offers, one of them being, for, of course, the football side of things too, Richard. What do you make of that story, and how well does it look for Arkansas to maybe get his services in the upcoming class?
He's a guy that Arkansas has been on for quite some time, and he's visited Arkansas several times. I'm not that optimistic right now. I think all the movement that he and some of his other teammates have made, they've gone from school to school and now West Memphis. But I'm not going to rule it out for Arkansas, but I just don't think Chris Morris and Arkansas are going to end up together at some point.
How about Tevin Carter, any of those prospects there? You feel good about any of them, or where do you think Arkansas stands? I know it's very early in the process.
Yeah, well, Tevin, obviously, you're right. He's a 2022 quarterback who's very, very talented, and you keep recruiting him and see what happens over the next few years. You never discount a kid that, you know, with that many more years to go in high school. So, I tend to think that they'll stay in contact and keep recruiting him and see what happens.
Well, see, and that's kind of the key, Richard, is because it seems like with football in the next coming years in the state of Arkansas, it doesn't seem as strong. But basketball, and correct me if I'm wrong, but basketball certainly seems like the recruiting classes in the next few years, if Musselman's able to get most of these guys, he'll be able to put together an extremely talented team. Are you starting to see that with basketball, too, is where they're having to not only bring in guys that are looking good to where they can play at SEC level, but maybe even at a high caliber level that can lead Arkansas to some great things?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, you look at K.K. Robinson, you look at Moses Moody, you look at Jalen Williams. I mean, Jalen Williams, Arkansas's in good shape with him. Not saying that he's going to be a Razorback, but I think they're in good shape with him. The 6'10 post player from Fort Smith Northside. I just tend to think that you add those guys. I mean, they're all very, very solid. And Moses Moody, a lot of people consider him a top 25 prospect, you know, a difference maker. So yeah, with the classes coming up, not only in the 2020 class, but what I think is coming up in the 21 and 22 classes, it's a good time to be a coach at Arkansas.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette joining us on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Always appreciate you hopping on with us, Richard. Have a great weekend, man. We'll catch up with you next week, all right?
All right, guys. Take care.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.